New York City to the world. Tom Sullivan is on now.
Now is the appropriate word. Hi, how are you? Happy third day of July 2018. My name is Tom Sullivan. And, well, I got some stupid people. I got to play, but I want to get some of this more serious stuff on the air as well. It's a busy, actually. I'm very shocked because usually this time, you know, just before the 4th of July, we're scraping the barrel. But not this week. So the president is talking. I don't know if I should say the president is talking. The White House is talking about the fact that maybe we should invite... have a meeting with Kim Jong-un when he comes to New York in September, because it's not that far away. Here we are, July, August, September, so 2 months. And it's the annual confab here for the United Nations. Speaking of a worthless organization. But it's called UN Week, and it goes for... 2 weeks, but the big dogs, all the major world leaders, are in town during 1 week in September every year, and all the good restaurants you can't get into because they've booked. These guys live high on the hog. These diplomats and everything else, they run around. They're not just going to dinner with them, their friend, their spouse, or whatever. No, they're going to dinner with their delegation, so they will take over the most expensive restaurants. I mean, they are living on somebody else's money, so they got a corporate card and they're going for it. So UN Week is coming up in 2 months, and all the world leaders come in, and Kim Jong-un has never done it, but maybe this year. How about coming to New York and having a meeting? The problem is that there is all this talk about the fact that, guess what? They're not doing anything about cutting back on their nuclear stuff. In fact, the reports, our intelligence people are saying not only are they not stopping their nuclear program, they're expanding it. We see where they are growing it. So what do we do? Pompeo is going there to North Korea at the end of this week. And I hope he has a firmly worded meeting with them about, hey, clowns, we can see what you're doing. And I don't know whether or I have no idea what they are up to, but Gordon Chang, our North Korea expert, has said this new activity shows that they have not made the decision, even though they said it, they have not made the decision to denuclearize.
Yeah, the thing that what this does is it undermines President Trump's rationale for his North Korea policy. That rationale is that North Korea has made a strategic decision to give up its arsenal. Now, clearly they haven't, because we have the reporting about the missile site and also the reporting about Yongbyon, where 9 days after the summit, they were working on the cooling system for their only plutonium-producing reactor, one which has no use peaceful purposes. So clearly the North Koreans have not made that decision.
Yeah. So what's going on? What is going on? And should there be another meeting in New York in 2 months between the president and Kim Jong-un? Gordon Chang says it'd be a mistake.
You know, it is just wrong for the administration to talk about a second meeting with Kim, which will give him even further legitimization, more status on the world stage, before the guy makes a commitment to give up his weapons. So I was stunned when I heard that. I mean, we have Pompeo, Secretary of State, going to Pyongyang at the end of this week. Hopefully he'll be able to get that commitment. But if he doesn't, we shouldn't be talking about meeting with Kim again.
So I don't know about all the excitement and the... you know, peace award and everything else. I'm not sure this thing is... Are we being buffaloed again? I mean, you heard Gordon. He said right after, right within days after the agreement to denuclearize, they're expanding their reactor for plutonium, and it does not have any purpose for powering the electric utility company in North Korea. It has only one purpose, and that is to make nuclear bombs. One more from Gordon. He says the president needs to ratchet up the pressure again on North Korea.
Well, this is really not a Kim question, because everyone's right. Kim doesn't want to give up his weapons. This is a question of what our president, President Trump, will do to use American leverage to force the North Koreans to do what they don't want to do. And it's not just also using the leverage against North Korea. It's more important, using the leverage against North Korea's major power sponsors, Russia and China.
Yeah, that's what it is. So I don't know where this is all going to go. Admiral Kirby weighed in on this today as well, saying it's different for Pompeo to go meet with Kim Jong-un than it is for the president.
Kim Jong-un is the autocratic leader of North Korea. He knows that Donald Trump is the head of the U.S. government right now, and that's why it was so important for him to have Trump at a summit face-to-face, get those images of meeting with the President of the United States, something no North Korea leader has ever gotten before. So I think while he considers Pompeo a serious negotiator and certainly a very credible representative of the United States of America and President Trump, it's not the same as when it comes right from President Donald Trump.
Yeah, but Pompeo is also a guy who's pretty well schooled on this, and he brings with him people from the State Department that are experts on North Korea. The president is not does not have that expertise that some of the specialists have in the State Department that travel with him. So it will be very interesting to see. This next week, like I said, Pompeo's going Friday. So next week we're going to have maybe some feedback on what Pompeo believes he got or whether he thinks we're being snookered. And then you've got the president going off to the NATO meeting, and then you've got the president leaving for Finland to meet with Vladimir Putin. So we're doing we got the international page wide open on all the activity that's going to be going on here very shortly. So our intelligence is clear about the fact that they are growing, not shrinking, their nuke program. Now what do you want to do? What do you think the president is going to do? One of the things that we know about Donald Trump is he likes people to flatter him, to talk about things with him that he wants to talk about. So he goes over and he has this big, everybody in the world, you know, took it live, president meeting Kim Jong-un. There they were in Singapore, and the world was watching. I don't think Donald Trump wants to be made a fool of. You can bet. I mean, I don't know the man, but the personality that we have learned about over the last couple of years is this man doesn't take kindly to things that make him look bad. He doesn't like it. He doesn't like things, the articles about him that he disagrees with or makes him look bad. How can you imagine on the world stage for Kim Jong-un may have made a major, major calculation error if he is thinking, I'll go there, I'll go to Singapore, I'll shake his hand, I'll tell him everything that he wants to hear, I'll tell him we'll denuclearize, I'll go to the South Korea-North Korea border, I'll meet with the South Korean president, I'll tell them the same things. But I have no intention of doing any of that. The problem with Kim Jong-un, and maybe it's his youthfulness, he doesn't understand what it's like when you double-cross somebody. You will make a bigger enemy out of them than you ever had before. It's better to say to him, Mr. President, I'm not going to denuclearize. Not now, not ever. And they can argue with each other all day long about that. But I think it's a much worse tactic for Kim Jong-un if he has done this, if he has thought to himself, I will tell him we're going to denuclearize but then not do it. I think he's asking for severe reaction from Trump. But what do you think President Trump will do if this is if they're expanding their program rather than shrinking it? If you were Pompeo and you find out that they're expanding and not shrinking, what would you tell the president? So this may be a backlash that is much bigger deal than the big ceremony that they had in Singapore. It's actually more worrisome to me. Because if they're expanding their program, I don't know what the other steps are other than military. No, I don't want to go to war. And again, China is running this show. China's in charge. And I know that China, I can't imagine that President Xi would like the U.S. to militarily attack North Korea. And because we'd win it in 24 hours, but then you've got the United States running North Korea, or at least Western friendly forces in North Korea, right next to your border, Mr. China President. So I'll tell you, this is a poker game that's a high stakes poker game, and again, you just do not. Whatever you do, do not make a fool out of your adversary. Or they could be like a rabid dog. Phone number here is 855-295-6600. 855-295-6600. What are your thoughts? I don't like this. They hear that they're expanding our, and I believe our intelligence people know what they're talking about. 855-295-6600. You can find my phone numbers, my email address, the links to my Twitter and Facebook and Instagram and my podcast. You can find all the ways to connect with the program by going to my website, which is easy to remember. It's simply TomSullivan.com.
Stop yelling at the radio and get on the phone now. You're with Tom Sullivan.
So we've got North Korea back on the front burner. Pompeo's heading there Friday, and word is from our intelligence people, they're not cutting back on their nuclear program. They're expanding it. Phone number is 855-295-6600. Now what's going to happen? Gino in Reno. Hi, Gino. How are you?
Hey, Tom. You know, it's kind of funny. You know, truth is stranger than fiction sometimes. If this was fiction and Tom Clancy was writing it, it would be we would take down Trump. We'd take down a Kim Jong-un's plane when it lands in New York in a couple of months. We put in a imitator who was friendly to us, and we redo their whole country,
no,
and nobody's the wiser.
No,
but
no.
That's fiction.
No, we're not.
True.
We're not going down that kind of world. But
no, I know. No, I understand that. But I do think you are absolutely right. You're making a very valid point that a lot of people aren't going to see. I agree with you. I don't think Trump's the kind of guy who's going to take being made a fool of lightly. You think about the things he responds to on Twitter. I do think that if this is true and they try to talk with Kim Jong-un and he doesn't make some changes, I do think we will see for the first time ever an American president taking out something in North Korea, because kind of the way Reagan did in Libya, because he's going to make it clear to the world that they said they're doing this and they're lying. We will not stand for this, or he will not stand for this, where the previous five presidents all did. I think it's a very dangerous time we're in.
I think so, too.
It's not fiction.
I think so, too. Now, there are some people that are listening to your commentary about it and thinking, well, I'd like a milquetoast president that does, you know, that says they're going to do something but never does, because then we don't have a war. No, but they've been building their nuclear capability for some reason, and I can't imagine them throwing that all away, too. I cannot imagine it, unless China is really bending Kim over a barrel. But China's got to realize, China has got to realize that they, if Kim has made a fool out of Trump, I don't care how good the chocolate cake was. There's going to be bad vibes between us and China.
I think you're right, and I think China actually, I don't think they have that. They do have leverage with Kim, but I do think China likes to use him for their advantage. He's the crowbar that they use to
maybe
kind of make the West bend to their will.
Maybe.
You know, they're expanding in the South China Sea, and I don't know what's going to happen, but we are in dangerous times, and people better kind of stop looking at all the domestic, you know, pronouns of transgender bathrooms and all the kind of stuff going on around here. Possible civil war, because we may have real war in the Pacific. It's sad.
Yeah, I agree. It's very dangerous. China, by the way, is their economy is in trouble, and they know it. And right now, they are in a much weaker position than they were a year ago, 3 years ago, 5 years ago. They are in financial trouble, and they can't afford to pick a fight with the United States right now. And that's why, which gets the trade issue in there, that's why I think Donald Trump is being very, very strong, because he knows he's got the upper hand. And he knows he's got the upper hand. So
hey, Tom,
they better.
You know, speaking of.
Go ahead.
I was going to say, speaking of, you know, people talk about possible civil war here in the United States. You look at our own civil war. Lincoln knew that the North has superior technology, superior manpower, superior munitions, but he didn't have any generals who were willing to do it, remember? Until
right.
he got Grant in the top position.
Right.
And I almost think it's kind of the same thing. We've had all these advantages, but there was nobody who had the political will to do it. And finally you get a guy like Trump, who nobody ever thought would get elected. He's like, well, this is what I think, and you can talk whether he's moral, amoral, immoral, but he does have a certain core set of beliefs that he outlined, and he is going to do what he thinks right for America. And we haven't had that for a long time. We've had a lot of people, well, we're the world's policemen. We want everyone to like us, and the world continues to hate us. I think Trump will kind of say, look, China, we're willing to help you like Nixon did, start it up, but you got to work with us instead of working against us like the United Nations in our own backyard does.
The world lies to us. I mean, Baghdad Bob, there are no American troops here, as our tanks went driving by behind him. The world just lies to us because they've been able to. Because they've been able to. Nothing has right. ever happened. If you, when you were a kid, if you lied, I don't know about your parents, but I got in trouble. I was disciplined. So that you learn there are consequences if you want to lie. If you want to cheat, if you want to steal, there are consequences. Nobody's had any consequences from the United States cracking down on people cheating us. Gino, thanks.
From New York City to the world, Tom Sullivan.
Hello, world. So we got a crazy world out there, no question about it. If Kim Jong-un has pulled a fast one on Donald Trump, and Donald Trump takes it as a slight, as a personal slight, saying, wait a minute, I had my Nobel Peace Prize case all ready to go. I had the world was watching. I stood there, shook your hand. I smiled. We patted each other on the back, and now you lied to me? I don't know how Trump's going to react. I hope that we find out that they're actually shutting things down. But our intelligence says North Korea is expanding their nuclear program, not shrinking it. Phone number is 855-295-6600. There's Dee in Minnesota. Hello, Dee.
Hi, Tom. Happy 4th of July.
Yes, same to you.
We might be getting some real fireworks.
Yeah.
I don't know. You know what? I think that Trump has a plan B. as you remember, right before he went on that trip to meet with Kim, he did say he had his eyes wide open. He knows the stunts this man has pulled before. And right before they met, Mr. Kimmy Boy took that little train ride into China. So you think that Mr. T over there in China didn't tell him you're going to do this, this, that, and see how far we'll get away with it? And I think something will happen because, you know, they're trying to make a play for Taiwan, too.
Right.
That's why they're building the island. They want the power. But you're also right about their economy. It's about to collapse. And let's put it this way. We'll be able to Trump does have the upper hand in that. So, I mean, I don't like the tariff thing, but if they do it right, you know?
Well, it's one thing to have an economy that is collapsed, not collapsing, but certainly is going downhill on them. And it's another thing to, who are the military leaders and who has the ear of President Xi? Is it his military people or his economic people? Because his economic people are saying we're in trouble, and his military people are saying let's go fight, because they've been very threatening about don't you dare interfere with our islands that we've made out there off of our coastline. Don't you dare interfere with Taiwan. We are, you know, they're very threatening in their language, but that's always scared off everybody in the past. I don't know if it will this time.
Well, everybody in the past were weak. They were not real leaders, in my opinion. Unlike Reagan, he didn't put up with garbage, and I don't think Trump will, to be honest. I think Trump will take a good look. As you remember, this is why he brought on Bolton. This is why he brought on Pompeo, because Tillerson was not doing his bidding. And that's why Tillerson got canned. Too bad.
Yeah.
And,
no.
Pompeo
is. Yeah, I mean, Pompeo's a smart guy, and he's also more hawkish than Tillerson by a large stretch. So that fits better with the president's personality. But, I mean, we can never really tell if this stuff will ever really lead to a military conflict. I hope not.
I hope not either. But if they do it, they do it quick, going fast. I wouldn't hesitate to drop one of those MIA bombs on North Korea. So, I don't know. I feel for the people there because they're the innocent victims in all of this. But something's got to be done. He can't be allowed to continue to starve those people just for the jollies of having nukes. I'm sorry. So I know there are other countries that are just as bad, but they have not been threatening, unlike Iran, to wipe off the country off the face of the earth. So those two, in my book, are the worst.
Well, they're two of the three evil axes. So, yes, the one's been taken care of, kind of. But we still have Iran and North Korea as President Trump told us, that President Obama said to him when they did the transfer of power when they were at the White House on January 20th of 17, your biggest problem is going to be North Korea. So, looked like we had it solved, but everybody that knows anything about it says it's not going to be solved overnight, but they're going the wrong direction. And like I said, if President Trump feels like he's been snookered, I don't know how he's going to react. But, Dee, always good to take your call. I appreciate it very much. Let's talk to George in California. George, hi, welcome. You're on the Tom Sullivan Show.
Hey, Tom, how you doing?
Doing great.
You know, I hear you say a lot of times the year of our Lord. That kind of makes me think you're a Bible-believing Christian and you believe the Word of God.
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Very much.
Well, you know, in the Bible, it talks about, you know, and I'm just going to quote a couple of scriptures just
to
stay on point.
Nope. I never allow, but I am a believer of the Bible. I read the Bible. I'm a Christian. But the problem with talk radio is, I learned this a long time ago, is that you quote from the Bible, the next 10 people are going to want to quote from the Bible, and then we're going to have an argument about what the quote in the Bible means, because everybody has a different opinion of what it means. It takes the topic, and you might as well throw it in the garbage can, because now we're on to Bible class, and I don't want to do that.
Okay, I'll be short. I'll be brief. You know, there's coming a time called the end days, and there's going to be wars and rumors of wars, and there's going to actually be some problems with Russia, North Korea, Pakistan, India, China, and the U.S. over Taiwan. There's some days that aren't going to be so favorable for the United States up and coming. And yes, Donald Trump. Yeah. I believe he was put there by a divine purpose to bring on the fulfillment of certain biblical prophecies. So I just want to share with you and your audience that, you know, like you said, that there's some tough times coming down.
Yep.
And it's not going to be no hoping and a wishing, because there's some written prophecies, for lack of a better word.
They're there. There's no question that they're prophecies that are written in the Bible. But I just want to thank you for basically making it into your own words, talking about what it is that you see and what you read without the quoting from the scripture. But I appreciate the call, George, very much. What do we got? We got enough time. Connie in Stockton, California. Hello, Connie.
Hi, Tom. Thank you for having me on your show again. I really am interested in the topic about Trump and North Korea. I feel that President Trump, in the first time meeting with the dictator, President Trump is not ignorant. He's aware of what this history of North Korea has been. But the fact that he's making an effort, this is not just helping the United States, it's helping the whole world, because this man is a threat to all of the countries.
Absolutely.
In the world.
Yes, yes.
And for him to take the first step, I have to admire him, and I'm proud of him being our president, because none of the other 3-4 presidents did anything, and the same issues were there. And here he is going forth, and his administration going forth, to try to solve an issue with this dictator that affects all of us throughout the whole world. And if the dictator doesn't follow through what they first agreed on, President Trump has another plan.
Well, they kicked the can down the road. He knows it. He's got the can. He's got to do something about it. And it's tougher now than it was. It could have been decided much easier before. But I got to hit my break. Connie, thank you. We'll be right back. Some of you get pretty vicious. The problem is you've got to find somebody that cares.
Tom Sullivan.
Interesting. All right, so I've got a tweet from Eric who says, are we taking the intelligence gathering community that hates President Trump seriously when it comes to their reviews of what's going on in the world? It seems to me that they're just trying to downplay President Trump's successes. Eric, it's time to move on. The Secretary of State, Pompeo, what did he do before he was Secretary of State? He ran the CIA. Who gave President Trump his daily presidential briefing? Pompeo. So you've also got Dan Coats, the National Intelligence Director, long-time Republican, pretty pro-Trump all the way along. So, I mean, I'm just going... I know there are bureaucrats that are in the CIA and in the government agency of X, whatever it might be, that don't like Donald Trump, but the top of these agencies are pretty much his people. I mean, I know, but I think it's time to move on from the fact that the intelligence people have to get past the top, and the top are people that are pro-Trump. And so if you were running the CIA, if you were running the national intelligence agencies, wouldn't you, if you thought they were playing some game, wouldn't you, you know, force them into some situation where you can find out whether they're playing a political game or giving you their best intelligence? Intelligence, first of all, is, in most cases, is somewhat of art, not a science. But they have, come on, we know we've got satellites, we know we've got spy planes, we've got all kinds of things that can read a license plate. So I think they know what they're looking at. And they're watching what they're doing. I don't know. It might be somebody that's pro-war, trying to get a war going. All right, speaking of wars and speaking of not trusting people in Washington, we've had the big one was the Secretary of Homeland Security, Kirstjen Nielsen, was at that Mexican restaurant, and they had this group come in that has, what's the name of that group, Andy? The Democrat Socialist? Democratic Socialists of America. I heard a report yesterday that 37,000 people belong to that. So it's not much when it comes to the nation, but it's 37,000 people have found each other, and it's a lot easier to do with social media, that all believe the same thing. And so they found a bunch of them to go over to that Mexican restaurant and yell at Kirstjen Nielsen. Then we had Sarah Huckabee Sanders go to the Red Hen, not the one in Washington, which is still getting a lot of heat. It wasn't them. It was in Lexington, Virginia, 3 hours from D.C., and gets asked to leave. So now we've got another confrontation. And if I may, it was done rather politely, but it was a confrontation by a woman who saw Scott Pruitt in a restaurant in Washington, D.C., and this is her confronting Scott Pruitt.
Hi. I just wanted to urge you to resign because what you're doing to the environment in our country. This is my son. He loves animals, he loves clean air, he loves clean water. Meanwhile, you're slashing strong business standards for cars and trucks for the benefits of big corporations. You've been paying about $50 a night to stay in a DC condo that's connected to an energy lobby while approving our Dirty Sands pipeline. We deserve to have somebody at the EPA who actually does protect our environment, somebody who believes in climate change and takes it seriously for the benefit of all of us, including our children. So I would urge you to resign before your scandals push you out.
Wow. Kind of hard to hear. Her name is Kristen Mink. She is a teacher at Sidwell Friends, which is the private, elite, very expensive private school in Washington, D.C., where some of the presidents, President Obama sent his kids there. I want to go back. There were others as well that went there. I can't remember all the children that went there. But anyway, it's a big, elite, expensive private school, and she teaches there. But she looked over. She was at this restaurant, and she looked over, and she saw Scott Pruitt three tables over. And she and her husband were there with her, like, her little toddler, a two-year-old toddler in tow. And she planned it all out, and she wrote down some of the things she wanted to say because she was afraid of being nervous. So here's her talking to Ali Velshi on CNN about her, or MSNBC on, can't keep track of which network he's with, about her confrontation.
I think he left because I spoke to him, and you know, it's my right as a citizen, it's my responsibility as a mother, you know, and I was there with my child, and I think that that probably helped to spark something in me also to seize that moment. I mean, here is the man who is literally sacrificing our children's future for short-term personal gain. It's disgusting, and he's corrupt while he's doing it. I'll say that speaking to strangers in restaurants is not really my wheelhouse, so I thought I might get a little bit nervous, and I did want to be factual and have coherent talking points. So just on the back of my receipt, I just scribbled down a couple of the many bullet points that there are to choose from that I could bring up. You know, I can't control that. We can't control that. They're, of course, going to try to spin it. But what it comes down to is that these are people who it is their job to work for us. They should, if they're doing their jobs well, they should want to hear from the public. And I was there to talk to Scott. It was a completely civil conversation. Turned out to be a bit of a one-way conversation, but that was his call. You know, they should want to know what we're passionate about. They should want to know what's important to us. And this is important. Clean air, clean water, the safety and well-being of coastal communities, protecting our environment for our children. This is important to us, and it's more important than Scott Pruitt's $1,500 tactical pants that he's spending taxpayer money on. It's more important than $1,600 that he just spent on a dozen fountain pens.
All right. So she got her list of talking points, and she wrote them down because she was nervous. But she says that she has a right as a citizen to do what she did. Now, Mr. Pruitt was having lunch with a gentleman, don't know who he is. And so she came over and said, "Hi, I just wanted to urge you to resign," and then stood there and talked about her talking points about what she doesn't like about him. I got to ask you, is this her right as a citizen to, in a private establishment, approach somebody who is a public official? And, I think it's rude. But does she have that right? Well, he's a public official, so he goes out into the public. He was in a public place, a private enterprise. Should she have done that? Are you with her or with Scott Pruitt?